Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Malibu had Deep Space Nine.
Yeah. Well, like, Malibu had a lot of stuff, but don't forget, Malibu also got bought up by Marvel for a while, and the imprint continued. I know DC had a really
Malibu
good...
Malibu even had a cartoon show.
It was Ultraverse.
Yeah.
Or,
I don't know, the guy... All I remember is the main...
It's Prime Time.
Yeah. It's Prime Time, because his fucking name was Prime.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah, I actually met the creator of Prime at...
Did you ask him how long he spent coming up with the idea for that character and his catchphrase? Was his answer a few seconds, maybe?
All right, so story time.
That'd be like if you just made Superman's name Super, and his catchphrase was, I'm Super!
Up, up, and instead of up, up, and away. The story is, I was at... Chicago Wizard World. I think it was Wizard World back then.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my traditional things to do back before I was married and had a kid was we would get a hotel room that was like attached to the comic convention. And me and my buddies, we would just get really drunk and talk to all the comic book creators there. And it was great back in the day before about 06, 07-ish, like kind of before everything got...
Before Wizard World started to be really bad?
Yeah, I mean, it was still... I was on the downward spiral, but I mean, you could get a drink with Mark Millar, drink with... I'm trying to think of who... Of all the new... a ton of people. I drank with the writer of Wonder Woman 1 year. So anyway, I see this unbelievably gorgeous girl there. Like, just unbelievably gorgeous. And she is sitting next to this... huge George Martin looking motherfucker. he's just like I'm like, what the hell is going on with this guy? And this gorgeous girl's right there too, and she's sitting next to this other wiener looking guy, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? So anyway, you know, I end up talking with the wiener looking guy, and he's like, oh yeah, that's the creator of Prime. I'm like, really? So I sit down and I'm talking with this guy about Prime. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember Prime, you know, you the little wiener kid who turned all gooey, and then he, you know, get a Prime and it's Prime Time and talk about the Ultraverse and all of that stuff. And I had a pretty fun conversation with it, and the entire time this gorgeous girl's not saying anything. Not saying anything. So this is back when I smoked. I'm like, well, I'm gonna go out for a cigarette. And I happened to see her out there, and I just started talking with her, and she really wasn't following what I was saying. And then, you know, she was like, oh, yes, this is how I, you know, I normally speak French. I go, oh, this makes complete sense. She's a foreigner. That's why she's with this weirdo looking dude. But that's my story on Prime.
It really wasn't about Prime at all.
No, it wasn't. I mean, who cares? It's Prime. It's like, what? I don't know what was. I can't. What were some of the other? There was it was a guy. He had a purple suit. I think it was Hardcase. Was his name?
Dude, Ultraverse is not my specialty at all. No. The only, like I said, the one thing I remember is Prime Time. It's the creator of Prime.
I also remember that cartoon was the first one that ever actually had like a character's death in like a Saturday morning cartoon, because it made one of the characters like died from radiation poisoning.
Yeah, I think Gargoyles is a character death too, but it was not technically a Saturday morning cartoon. It was an after school cartoon.
Yeah, but I think I it doesn't.
But that cartoon, the Malibu one, was definitely before Gargoyles.
Yes. Yeah. But was it before Mummy's Alive?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Just to be sure,
it was for sure before Mummy's Alive. And then you can't count the Transformers movie because it was a movie.
Yeah, you can't.
Because otherwise, a fuck ton of characters died.
They didn't really die. They're robots, so robots can't die.
I mean, that's assuming you don't consider their spark a soul.
No, I don't consider their spark a soul.
Wow.
Well, wow.
Data would be aghast. Actually, he wouldn't.
No, he'd be like, it's completely logical.
He'd be nonplussed.
He'd be like, yeah.
He would be like, the deflector shields are operating at peak efficiency, sir.
Pretty much. Be like, that's right, Data.
Thanks, Data.
Go make me a sandwich. You make excellent robot sandwiches.
The replicator can create a sandwich for you, sir. It's highly
You go talk to the robot replicator and tell the robot replicator to make me a sandwich. Me telling the replicator to make me a sandwich is too much effort on my part. You do it, third in command, Data. he was third in command because it was Picard, Riker, then Data.
Yeah,
yeah. All right, so just
yeah, that was the chain of command on the Enterprise.
Yeah, I don't like the seating arrangement. I don't like it at all.
That makes me happy. Anything I can do to make you uncomfortable.
I feel uncomfortable. They switched up the seats here, so
this is all upside.
All upside. And I have absolutely nothing to fucking talk about.
Though the biggest news gaming wise is the Pathfinder Humble Bundle.
You think that's the biggest news?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's huge. It's the first RPG Humble Bundle that's ever existed.
Yeah, I did know that.
That's the first. Two, it's phenomenally successful. Like,
it is
ridiculous. I'll bring it up while I'm talking to see how many people have actually done it so far. But the hilarious side effect to this, I did it myself.
Did you paint this, by the way, this ornithopter?
No, I don't know where. I don't know.
Because I was going to say, this almost looks like a professional paint job. And I was going to say,
that does not look like a professional paint job.
No, it looks like someone had done like an actual like good work on it.
No. That looks like ass. Have your standards dropped so low?
Well, I mean, in comparison to your normal stuff.
Oh, it's funny. This is why you don't have any golden demons, by the way.
Well, the other reason is they don't do golden demons anymore.
Oh, you'll never have that chance. So
I will never.
40,245 bundles have been sold. Wow. Of this, which is,
and it's all just PDFs,
huge.
Right?
Huge. Yes and no. So the way the Humble Bundle works, if you aren't familiar with anyone listening, is it is a pay what you want bundle of items.
Yeah.
So you can pay $1, which is the minimum. And you get the following: the Pathfinder Core Rulebook, the Game Mastery Guide, the Digital Beginner Box, the Player Character Folio, Advanced Class Guide, GM Screen, and an Adventure Path in Hell's Bright Shadow, the Hell's Rebels 1 of 6 Adventure Path. That is the $1 gets you all of that, which is already a huge value.
Yes.
Huge value. Like,
but it's all electronic, though.
This is all PDFs.
Yeah.
If you pay more than the average of $17.18, you also unlock the Intersea World Guide, Pathfinder Strategy Guide, Bestiary, Ultimate Equipment, Pathfinder Scenario Between the Lines, Adventure Path Turn of the Torrent, Hell's Rebels 2 of 6, and the Advanced Player's Guide. Pay $15 or more, you unlock Ultimate Magic, Ultimate Campaign, Ultimate Combat, Bestiary 2, Adventure Path Dance of the Damned, Hell's Rebels 3 of 6, Intersea Poster Map Folio, Pathfinder Society Year of the Sky Key Adventure Scenario Megapack, which is 23 adventures.
Mm-hmm.
Pay $25 or more, and you also unlock the Pathfinder Role-Playing Game Beginner Box physical copy, which has an MSRP of $35.
Mm-hmm.
So, for $25, you get a $35 MSRP item and roughly $350 worth of PDFs.
Cool.
That is what you get. So, this has been a phenomenal success for Pathfinder, and huge influx of new players picking up the game and like looking to get into it and whatnot. So much so, the Paizo website is taxed beyond capacity. It crashed their website the day it launched. Their website was down the entire day. Their website still loads like shit. Right as of yesterday, their website still loads like shit, and I still can't download a single PDF.
Why would you want to download PDFs?
Because they are so overloaded.
No, but I mean, like, why would you want to?
I mean, I bought the Humble Bundle.
Oh, why?
It's $25.
But you don't even like Pathfinder.
It's $25.
And you yell at me, sir.
Hey. No. But see, these aren't taking up my shelves.
That's
see,
true.
If these were physical books, like, no joke, I actually wouldn't buy them if they were physical books.
Yeah.
But here's another note about Pathfinder. The rules as written is bad. But as I was telling you when I was suggesting, somewhat jokingly, that you should collect Rifts books, the rules as written of your RPG don't particularly matter.
No.
They only matter if you're playing with someone who thinks they matter. And my advice to you would be to get that person out of your game.
Yeah.
Is the first step. Having a somewhat stable rule set is reasonable. Like, you don't want to make a strength check to push someone off a building and then later on have someone make a constitution check to do it. You know, you want to remain consistent in what you do. But, you know, a by the book having to do everything leads to, especially with Pathfinder 3.5, leads to the degenerate combos of feats and so on and so forth, which is not good. However, it is good to have a standardized rule set that you follow to a T when you're talking Pathfinder Society, which I did do and it was pretty fun.
I've heard Pathfinder Society is kind of fun to do.
Yeah,
but, you know,
it's a great pick up and go RPG thing. It's not a campaign, so it works out really well.
And it just this underscores like what I was who the hell was I listening to? I was listening to some podcast or something or other where people were talking about the difference between my generation and your generation. I mean, we're not that far apart in years. I'm just a couple
like
years
2 years apart. But I don't think that's exactly enough to be called a generation.
But it technically is, because I'm technically in the last gasp of Generation X, and you're in the first part of the millennials.
Mm.
And from everything that this guy was saying, he was just a philosopher. He was kind of talking about this, that...
sounds like a dildo already.
Generation X is a collector generation. We're a generation that likes to have physical things. We like to... like, even our music files are still on a hard drive on our computer. Like, the MP3s that we own are on a hard drive on our computer because we like to make sure that we have things. We rip movies. We save the movies. We don't necessarily rely too much on digital media. However, millennials like to be more access oriented. They don't give a shit about having something. They just want to have access to everything. So as long as they have access to things, they don't really care. Like, and Netflix is a great example of it. Why does Netflix stem piracy so much? Because Netflix just gives you access.
It's also $5 a month for a huge amount of content, just value-wise.
It's access as opposed to having things. Now, I still like to buy DVDs. In fact, I just went to Half Price Books before I came here and bought myself a
Matlock
Blu-ray.
DVD?
Why do you have the Matlock?
I know the Matlock theme song. I know a lot of theme songs. Oh, man, that fucking Golden Girls thing? I lost my shit.
Oh,
it was fantastic. Yeah. The rotoscoped Justice League?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was good.
But, yeah, so it's like, when I hear this Humble Bundle thing, I'm just kind of like, it's fine, but I'd much rather have the actual books.
Well, let me throw a monkey wrench at you here. Pathfinder has so many fucking books.
Well, yeah, but...
The space... It's strictly real estate. Like, the amount of space you need to collect Pathfinder is ridiculous. There are so many hard book, like, physical copy books for it. It's just, like, it's nonsense.
No,
you are much better off collecting a game that has that... And I'm a person who likes hard copies in general. Okay. But for Pathfinder, there's so many books... You should have a like core rule book. If you're gonna actively play Pathfinder, you should have a copy of the core rule book, physical, maybe like beginner's box, and then perhaps one other player supplement, like a hardcover one that you need. Everything else you should have should be PDF.
No, I get what you're saying.
So many books.
But as myself, if I'm like you had to have seen my collection of just nonsense amount of books that I own.
Yeah.
For games I don't even play
anymore. It's a lot of garbage.
But it's just a matter of me having the physical copy as opposed to a PDF. I have a lot of stuff in PDF.
Look, I'm not going to confront you about your hoarding right now, okay?
I do. It's a problem. I'm not going to argue that. But no, it's that a lot of the newer generation doesn't care about... the actual copies. It's more about just access to them. So if you're smart in a lot of ways, a smarter idea would be for like a gaming company is you just charge a $5 monthly subscription. Like if Paizo was smart, $5 monthly subscription to their catalog, where you could only access the stuff from their website.
I don't think that's sustainable based on how many people are going to sign up for it.
I'm saying something like that where it's just. You know, people just give people access to it at a cheap price, and they will be constantly going back to it.
I think another issue too is books. Books specifically, especially RPG books, are so easy to torrent.
Yeah,
like it's so easy to get swaths of them in one like very quick torrent. Like you don't even need to like for the longest when before Mega Upload got closed down illegally.
Mega Upload.
You could download the entire collection of D&D, like, ever. Like, D&D books ever printed in, like, a 20-megabyte file.
I have a couple of sites that I can still go to if I need to. But, I don't even do it anymore.
I'm saying, like, the point was, you don't even need to do a torrent to, like, get this stuff. Because the file sizes are so small. It's just some PDF. So, like, just grab a zip file, and it's got everything ever printed. So, it's a little different than, you know, and plus the amount of people who are going to subscribe are different. You know, Netflix has millions and millions of subscribers.
Yeah, no, I get that. But what I'm just saying is that if somehow a company wants to stem torrenting, like people are still going to torrent it if they want to have the physical copies. But if you pay someone, like if a person has to pay a minimum amount just to get access to books.
One of the things I like about Lamentations is if you buy a book direct from Lamentations, this is actually a good middle ground. If you buy a book from Lamentations, the site, you get the PDF.
Yeah.
You just get both. So they just give you one. You can buy the PDF as well. It's cheaper. You don't get the book. But, you know, that Pathfinder doesn't do that, but it's kind of, even if you buy direct from Paizo, as far as I know, I've never bought a book direct from Paizo.
Well, I don't think you get a PDF. Most companies nowadays are doing the PDF. I mean, it's only the stalwarts that don't do the PDFs. Like the people who are owned by...
Well, Wizards doesn't do PDFs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like...
But they also are releasing one book every few months.
Yeah, it's, as I say, it's the stalwarts that are not doing that. It's more of the upstart companies that are like, yeah, fuck it, we'll give you the PDF. I mean, look at 7C. I mean, that's another huge story because, like, we talked about it last time.
Kickstarter is gigantic.
We were joking about it, you know, like, it's 7C. Who's going to play 7C?
Apparently a lot of people.
Apparently a shit ton of people.
Actually, I'm so bold to say that there's not going to be a lot of people playing it, but there's a lot of people who kickstarted it.
Yeah.
By a fucking huge margin. Now, I think it might be the first one to crack a million. We'll see.
It might be. I mean, it's getting up there right now, and there's like a shit ton of people
who
backed
it. Crazy to me because I just don't think the 7C world is that interesting.
I think people just felt bad for John Wick. They want to make, you know, his dog died and wife died. He went on a shooting rampage, killed Theon Greyjoy, and now he's out making an RPG, and they're like, good for him. He's doing something constructive with his life and not killing
technically
people.
His wife died, his dog was murdered.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's his. But the dog died. The wife died. I mean, the dog died by murder.
You think it's important to note that the dog was murdered?
Yes.
You know,
I don't know. Can you murder a dog? Dogs don't have souls. Just like robots.
Nobody has souls, Joe.
Robots and dogs don't have souls.
Nobody has souls. that's fantasy land.
It's fantasy land. But yeah, it's and 7C is
which
also...
Which unfortunately impacts the real world in horrible ways every day.
So the 7C is also doing the PDF. They're, you know, like the top tier one. And like most of them, it's just like, yeah, if you pledge $15, you get the PDF.
Yeah.
Woo! And some people just do that because, like you said, shelf space-wise. Like me, I have a gaming cavern. So, like, I have lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of shelf space.
It's just, I just don't want that much. Like, yeah. I don't want I don't want that many books. Like, I
want the world.
I'm very happy with
I want the whole world.
I'm very happy with Lamentations.
I want to wrap it all up in my pocket. Singing. It's my bar of chocolate. Give it to me now. Wait. I want the world.
It sounds
Willy Wonka. You don't like Willy Wonka.
I hate Willy Wonka. It's not even not liking. Fuck Willy Wonka. Fuck Gene Wilder and his stupid hair. You lose. Good day, sir.
I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden
That fucking lay about grandpa. I'm too sick to work.
It's a lay about grandpa.
I got a ticket to go to this free place.
In Donald Trump's America. He would not be getting any money from the government. He would be working. As we all see, when he gets his golden ticket, a.k.a. welfare, he is up and about and spending that money.
I'm perfectly happy having a collection of the lines I want. So all the Lamentations books.
Yeah, you have
The Star Trek RPG from Decipher, I'm starting to collect that. I just got the narrator's guide. I haven't had a chance to peruse it yet, but I will be going ham into it once I get the player's guide. Because the player's guide is the first book. The narrator's guide is the second book. So I want to do them in the proper order.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I ordered them at the same time.
You should run a campaign that starts in TOS and then goes all the way through to Voyager.
I could.
I know.
It has all the information to do that, which is pretty cool. I don't...
Yeah. Except Voyager sucks.
I think it has Enterprise. I think it has Enterprise, but I'm not sure.
We got faith.
Dude, it's so
in the hall.
Your version is even worse than the real version. I don't know who blew who to get that on that show, but it must have been a really good beach.
You know, they were just trying a lot of different things. They just didn't want another of that Brandon Braga era.
Bum, bum, bum. Bum, bum, bum. I like the grandiose.
Well, I do too, but they had three of those shows in a row.
Which is fine. If they don't want to do that, they should have at least done a song that wasn't fucking god-awful.
Well, I agree. No, and it's like, and if you watch like,
Voyager's amazing, by the way.
Oh, it's terrible. It's and so if you good. See like the downward spiral so of like viewership, how is Voyager?
It's so good.
It's got the worst characters ever. They're so vanilla. So no one cares about any of those characters.
So good. It's delightful.
Yeah, especially coming off of the amazing run of DS9.
DS9's real good.
Yeah, DS9 is fantastic. And then you have Voyager. It's like, oh, B'Elanna Torres, she's really cool. She's, you know, half human, half Klingon. She's really, oh, what does she do with it? Nothing for like 7 seasons. She has like one episode where she confronts it. Oh, that's great. Oh, Tom Paris, cool. This guy got kicked out of Starfleet, you know, Starfleet Academy because of that accident with Wesley Crusher. No, that's not him. It's a different character because they didn't want to pay for that. Oh, okay. Well, he's got like a similar backstory. Yeah, kind of. I mean,
he was in prison.
Yeah, he was.
He didn't get kicked out of Starfleet for being a dickhead and trying to cover up an accident. He was a criminal.
Yeah. Oh, he was a criminal. What did he do? Something. It's not really ever really discussed that much. No, he has daddy issues. Okay, so it's essentially exactly the same like Riker with a cooler backstory. Well, we don't ever go into the backstory. So what's really cool about that? Oh, Harry Kim. We're not even going to go into Harry Kim because he's, you know, useless. Oh, that's like, okay, then we're going to, let's, so we need an interesting alien on this show, okay?
I love Neelix. Neelix is so awesome.
You get in Neelix, the most annoying character in the history of Star Trek.
No.
And then what do? They take him and
look, you like Babylon Tuvok. 5. Tuvok. So all of your opinions on sci-fi
you got,
are gone.
No. You got Tuvok.
You also like Battlestar.
I do like Battlestar. You got Tuvok, and then you got Neelix, and then we're going to put them together to make an interesting character and have one of the most interesting philosophical...
That episode was fucking awesome.
Episodes of all time, and you could have kept going with it, but they decide not to because Janeway just decides, it's like, nope, this character does not matter.
That episode was awesome. That was an amazing episode.
Yeah,
but
they took
the problem with it is
two
that
shitty characters, made him into an interesting character, and got rid of the interesting character.
The problem with that episode is the problem with doing episodic Star Trek,
yeah,
where you have to make the complete little story in one little nugget. So having Alien of the Week, like this is a thing,
yeah,
this is a thing. That's the problem, which is what DS9 was starting to break away from, which is why DS9 is some of the best Star Trek,
yes,
because they have bigger plot arcs. The first season of Voyager has none. It's just like, this episode, this happens. This episode, this happens. This episode, this happens. There's like, went back to the first and second season of The Next Generation, which is miserable. The first and second seasons of The Next Generation, except for the end of the second season when they introduced the Borg, there's like a few standout episodes, but for the most part, as far as like character development goes, there's none. Because it's like, it's Worf. He's the strong guy. What's he exist for? Well, he exists there to get beaten by something so you know that the thing is strong. Well, that's all that Worf does.
No, because I will say that... like character-wise, the first few seasons of Next Gen, not really that strong. However, morally, like the lesson episodes, kind of like how the original series did it, where it was like, so what's the moral of this episode? They were you know, morality plays, and they would discuss issues in those first few seasons, which was great. But you can't continue that. That's the reason why Star Trek the original series had such problems, is because they kept trying to do that every episode.
Right, why season 3 became good of Next Generation, because it became this is a Worf episode, this is a Crusher episode.
Yes, and I agree with that.
And that's where
it was just a tonal shift. I still love the first few episodes.
There's some pretty shit episodes in the first two seasons of Star Trek. Nothing as bad as the breaking the warp barrier in the first season of Voyager. But that
I don't even think that was first season.
I just watched it. It was the first season. That is in the first season. It's an early episode of the first season, relatively. I think it's like 17 or 16 in the first season.
Yeah, it could
also be. You have to remember there's the 26 or 24 episode seasons, which is another issue of all Star Trek. Like the seasons are too long to not do interlinked arcs. Like they could have even done one arc a season and still gotten away with it fine and had 24 episodes okay.
Threshold was season 2, sir. Episode 15.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Still bad. Still early.
I knew it wasn't the first season. Because the first season they were going up against that really terrible race that they were trying to make the villain, where they were like all fleshy.
The Vidians?
Yeah.
They were fucking dying of the phage.
Oh, stupid.
The best thing about... Yeah, okay. Yeah, because you know, Klingons are stupid. They're warriors. That's dumb. Yeah, so your ridiculous biases aside, the Voyager was trying to go back to TOS.
Yeah,
that was the entire,
and they failed miserably.
The entire thing. Well, it was made in the 60s, so we got there. Yeah. And TOS is some sort of sacrosanct amazing thing.
No, was it?
There was plenty of shit episodes in TOS.
There was 20 good episodes of the original series, and that's being slightly generous.
And yeah, there's tons of good stuff about Voyager. There's tons. And is it as good as DS9? No. But DS9's the best Star Trek.
There's two great things in Voyager, and they're called Jerry Ryan.
you are what's wrong with the sci-fi fandom, in total. You like Doctor Who. You like Battlestar. You like Babylon 5. You are the Big Bang Theory. That's what you are.
So what you're telling me is that I'm bad for science fiction because I watch science fiction.
No, you are what's wrong with it. You are the Big Bang Theory.
Because I watch lots of science fiction and mm-hmm. I have opinions on lots of science fiction. That makes me bad as opposed to the person who watches one science fiction
and has opinions on all science fiction. I just refuse to finish shows that are bad. Like Babylon 5 put me to sleep, so I stopped watching it.
Yeah.
Farscape had fucking stupid ass Muppets in it. Mm-hmm. I watched two episodes. That was also garbage.
Okay.
Like any of those, the one I did finish that you recommended highly was good at first, Battlestar Galactica, and then shit the bed harder than any show in the history of the world.
I will completely agree that Battlestar Galactica
shit the bed so hard its ass actually exploded in a torrent of diarrhea.
I will admit for full-heartedly that the up until about midway through season three, Battlestar Galactica was amazing. Everything after season three, and after that midpoint of season three, it's just utter garbage, with maybe the exception of the when Gata tries to take control of the Battlestar at like the very tail end of the show.
That little tiny
two-episode story arc, fantastic. Everything else and that last season was just garbage. Everything with that. But that's the thing is, like, I can admit that certain things about a show are great and I love them, and certain things are terrible, like Doctor Who. The new Doctor Who, there are probably maybe 3 to 4 great episodes a season. But those great episodes are so good that I will continue to watch even through the shitty episodes to see if I could find those great episodes. Because I love science fiction so much.
And I think there's plenty of quality stuff to do that's not just watching science fiction or do it.
But there's not enough to like I spend like what, an hour or two a week watching like my show. Like I don't watch a ton of television. I maybe watch like an hour and a half a night, depending on the night. But like Mondays, so I watch I watch the new X-Files. Did you see the new X-Files yet?
No, I wanted to rewatch the original on Netflix first.
Yeah, I heard
it's unnecessary because it's like the first episode like goes like this is what happened and like you're done.
Yeah,
that's what I heard. But I still want to rewatch X-Files.
It was so like. After rewatching it, I just rewatched all 6 episodes, and I'm just like, these episodes aren't really that good. I love the X-Files, and maybe there was like 1 or 2 decent episodes, but I was like, this reboot is so unnecessary.
Well, isn't it just a miniseries? It's not really a reboot.
Well, I mean, not a reboot. Yeah, but this season the 10 or whatever they want to call it is just so unnecessary. Mulder looks like a Muppet. He looks like a Fraggle.
Yeah, I give things, and I watch a fuck ton of anime.
Well, yeah,
anime has the same rule as any show for me, not just sci-fi. It's you get X number of episodes, and it's generally based on runtime. Yeah. So if your show's half hour, I'll give you 3.
But I mean, like, how can you say that? Like, and especially like a show like The Next Generation, where the
Andromeda is pretty good.
Well, now that's a show that I hate that show.
Kevin Sorbo, baby.
Where they kept every season they were like, well, this isn't working. Let's change everything.
Yeah, that show was hilarious.
Well, it's kind of like Fringe too. Fringe was like that, where it was just like, well,
Fringe was one of the most inconsistent shows ever.
I watched the whole thing, and I actually really enjoyed that as a whole, but no, it's like you can't say that like, oh, I gotta wait like 3 episodes, because if you watch the first 3 episodes of Next Generation, they're not really that good.
The first episode of Next Generation is pretty good. Encounter at Farpoint.
Yeah, I mean,
it's pretty good.
And if you were Encounter at Farpoint, if you go back and were a fan of the original series, Encounter at Farpoint is a great successor to the original series. But the show becomes so much more in that third, and even in the second season, it becomes so much more that it's just, it's so. I don't know how you could do this. So that's why I give shows, like, if it's a show that I see that there could be something good with it, I will watch the entire thing. Like, for example, great thing of this right now where I every once in a while I start to waver on it is Supergirl. People keep talking shit about Supergirl. Like, oh, I did a trivia the other night. It was like, it wasn't bar trivia because it was at a movie theater. So they project the questions up on the big screen. You know, you could drink the food and everything like that. It was at Hollywood. And they asked a question about Supergirl, and there was a guy sitting behind me, like this, you know, standard like gruff nerd guy. He probably worked in a comic book store. He's like, "Now we'll see which assholes are actually watching that piece of shit." And I was just like, "Well, first of all, this is the answer for it because I watched that piece of shit." And
you were that asshole.
Well, yeah, but I'm like, it's not a terrible show, But it has such glimmers of greatness to it that I will stick with it, because if it goes where I think it's going to go, it's going to get really well. It's going to do really well. I like pedigrees. Like Berlanti did Flash. He did Green. He did, well, not Green Arrow, Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow. Like those four shows, pretty decent comic book television.
Yeah. See all those CW shows. No.
Yeah. Like, see, I know you'll blow it off, but I will give it a chance because I see that they're fun and they're great and they tell fun stories.
It's just not interesting. Like, I hate the CW shows. They're all kind of like the last one I watched some of was Smallville.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're different than Smallville, whatever. But like,
I never watched Smallville.
I
tried.
It's not really good.
Well, I mean, I shouldn't say I tried it.
It's not really good.
My roommate in college was into it, so I'd watch an episode here or there, and I would never like, but I was never like a regular watcher of it.
So the problem with Smallville is the problem that I would have with any of those shows, where they're a television show.
Yeah.
Okay. So they have certain things that they need to do. They need to go on indefinitely. For as long as people watch them, they will go.
Yeah.
That's how TV shows work. Like, mm-hmm. they will just keep going and going and going. They don't do any, there's no story that actually works if you just keep going forever. Which is why Daredevil, which is a small, compact, little package on Netflix, works.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Daredevil runs for a lot more blocks, it will probably end up getting really bad. But it's short. It bangs it out. There's no fucking fluff at all. And I think that was the biggest problem with Smallville, and I would assume I would have the same problem with Arrow, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, is they're full of fluff. And it's one of the problems I have with Star Trek in general, like all Star Trek, like from TOS forward.
Yeah.
All of them have a problem of there's episodes that if you can just pull the episode out, if the episode means nothing to no characters or you as the viewer, like you can just dismiss that episode. And that's a problem that they all have, but that's a problem that made for TV television shows have. Like there's a ton of like,
so what you're saying is that the history of television, you absolutely just cannot stand the history of television.
Not exactly, because you have shows like The Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
Which are completely episodic.
Yeah, that's anthology, it's different.
Right. Anthology is an entertaining medium of it. But the issue of the TV shows having the pulling episodes out and in is there's shows where you can't do that on TV. Like fuck, Gargoyles was like that at a point where it's like it's a fucking TV show cartoon for kids. And like if you weren't paying attention or you didn't catch the first season, when the second season starts, you're like, who the fuck is that? Why the fuck is that? What the hell is going on?
What the hell's going on?
Right. Because, you know, like suddenly Thanatos's butler has elf ears and a stone hand. If you didn't watch the first season, you have no idea why his butler suddenly is like, what the fuck is going on? You know, and one of the characters, there's like a couple new characters and like characters are gone. You know, it's like, what the fuck is happening? You know, you can't pick up. Like, you can look at like TOS and Next Generation. If you have a passive knowledge of Star Trek, like you're like, yeah, it's about Captain Kirk and his crew, like going around the Enterprise and, you know, doing things. And you started
doing things.
You started season two of the original series. You're not going to really be like, who is that? What's going on?
What's going on? No, and that's the reason I love television. And I just like
why I hate sitcoms so much.
Oh, wow. It depends on which sitcom. I like sitcoms.
I like three. I like Frasier, I like Third Rock from the Sun, and I like Seinfeld. Those are the sitcoms I like.
Right now, I think the only... Well, no, I watch a couple. I watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which I find is hysterical.
That's the Andy Samberg one, right?
Yeah. I watch The New Girl. My wife really likes that one, and I find it funny. And I also watch Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which I think is some of the greatest television... since Seinfeld.
That's the Danny DeVito one, right?
Yeah.
With Dayman.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've heard good things about that.
I don't know. It's a very good comparison to Seinfeld. It's like Seinfeld, if they had absolutely no morals, is Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
So like Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Kind of, but it's not
Curb Your Enthusiasm I couldn't watch. It was just like, Curb Your Enthusiasm was like that uncomfortable humor.
Yeah.
And it was too much. I was just like, ugh.
It's not really uncomfortable humor. It's like, it's very slapsticky and stupid, but it's just like all of the characters are very, very dumb, but think they are very, very smart. And that's what kind of makes it funny to me. And I don't know. I recommend it highly to a lot of people. I'm sorry. I'm trying to bring something up on my phone. It's taking forever. But yeah. So, I mean, but yeah. So as I always say, my view on television is I'm going to watch it. If I think that the show is going to be good, I will give it a chance until the point where it's just like, this show is awful. I'm not going to watch it. A good example of that, Agent Carter, which is based off Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
People have huge boners for that.
They love it. I watched the entire first season, and I was just like, eh. And so then I started watching the second season. I watched the first episode of the second season. I'm just like, I turned to my, and then like I missed the second episode. My wife was like, oh, we got to watch the second episode before we watch the third episode. And I'm just like, I just don't think I'm going to watch this anymore. We're going to take this out of the rotation. And she's, I'm like, are you okay with that? And she goes, yeah, I'm fine with that. So we're kind of, and I'm still kind of like that almost with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh yeah, Agents got one episode out of me and I was done. I'm in.
Yeah, fucking, but that's every show. So I feel like
wait, what, I don't watch those shows.
Why would you want to watch an actual hacker? You know what an actual hacker would do? He'd pick up a phone and go like, hi, I'm the password police. I need to get your password so that we could take care of it because of criminal stuff. And the dumb people who I work with and you probably work with will be like, oh yeah, here's my password. Because that's the way actual hacking works.
Hang up the phone. That wasn't the password police. He calls on Wednesdays.
Exactly.
I don't watch. So like there's so much content. You have to.
But you don't watch any of the content. You watch idiots on YouTube playing video games.
That's a half hour. That's a half hour one day. No, there is so much content you have to pick and choose. And I devour content. There's a fuck ton of it. But there is so much you can't just devote to, unless you know, or if it's expanding a mythos that you are, like if they did a-
Then
like,
you're invested in.
If they did a Lord of the Rings TV show, I would watch it.
Yeah.
Even if it was absolutely terrible, I would watch every episode because I'm super invested. I'm pre-invested in that mythos.
Yeah.
And- At some point, there will be good episodes of it because,
like Legend of the Seeker.
Anything?
Do you remember that?
I do.
This show is not good, and I watched the entire thing.
I do.
I'll be the first to admit that show.
What channel was it on? Was it on WGN?
I think CW? I think it was a CW show. Maybe TNT. I don't know.
I think that was a show I wanted to watch, and like I never watched it because that was when I was still like trying to find things on TV, yeah. Like Hercules Legendary Journeys and Xena.
Now that's a show that I cannot give a pass to. Hercules Legendary Journeys is so god awful.
It is terrible, and. But it's terrible for me, it's terrible in the like the way the room is terrible or.
Yeah, I could see that.
It's like it's fucking so silly. Like it is so silly. And the show takes itself as seriously as you should take it, which is not at all.
Yeah. I mean, I just can't devote any time to watching that show.
Xena, I haven't seen. I mean, well,
I've seen a couple episodes.
I guess here's the other thing, too. There's the watch and there's the rewatch.
Yeah, well, that's
so
what you do.
Hercules is a show that I watched once. I will never watch it again.
Unlike me, who's watched like X-Files like four times all the way through.
Exactly.
I
so
love that show.
There's the watch and there's the rewatch. And
except the last two seasons, I won't rewatch the last two seasons.
Oh, and back to so much content. No, I watch a fuck ton of stuff. But you got to remember, I have a huge, huge quantity. Of it that's just fucking anime.
Yeah, that's true. You do watch a ton of anime.
And
I'm
like,
not going to argue that.
It's like there's this, that, and but anime is the same thing. There's a ton of anime that's total shit, and it's only got a few episodes to,
yeah,
you know, to really hook you. Because if you don't get hooked, there's 10 different shows to watch. And that's my feeling for any other show I'm watching. Like, it's got a few episodes to hook me, because otherwise I've got a fucking wait list on Crunchyroll, I got a wait list on Netflix, Amazon. Like, if you can't get me with your show, I've got something else to watch.
That's true.
Unless it's, again, you have the, like, the next Star Trek. I'm going to watch the shit out of it. I'm sincerely hoping it's not in the JJ-verse.
Yeah, I'm kind of iffy on what's going on with that. But the, because that third movie looks like it's going to be balls awful. But yeah. There's a show on right now on MTV that's based on the Chronicles of Shannara.
Yeah, I saw that a trailer for that.
Yeah.
I have no idea what the Chronicles of Shannara are.
Really? Oh, it's classic.
I never heard of it.
It's very...
I've heard of a lot of fantasy sci-fi shit. I've never heard of it.
Oh, it's very high fantasy.
Is it new?
No, it's old. It's been around for a long ass time. Mm. At least, I sort of Shannara, I think I read for the first time when I was in high school. So it had to be like between 95 and 99. So around that era is when I read Sword of Shannara. So, or whatever the first book is. I think it's Sword of Shannara. But it's so young adult, like like, I can't even make the comparison. Like, oh, people falling in love from different parts of the world, and he's a young hero who's got to, you know, rise. It's standard goofy nonsense that you read when you're a teenager. You know, it reminds me a lot. Like, that's where Patrick Rothfuss.
I was reading
stuff.
American Psycho when I was a teenager.
I read the Communist Manifesto when I was a teenager, but I devoured fantasy. But it's that
there was
nonsense.
A book series I read. I loved it, and I can't for the life of me remember. I can't remember anything about it.
Nothing about it.
I remember that there was an adventuring party, and someone
you were reading Dragonlance.
One of them. No, it's definitely not Dragonlance. One of the people in the group was poisoned in the current book out. The book I remembered the most. Someone was poisoned by like a sword, and they went on a quest to find the cure for the poison, and they like made a group of mercenaries together. It's a series. It was like Blackheart's Brigands or Workshop. It wasn't Workshop, but it was
it's
like
the Black Company.
I think so, maybe.
Yeah, it's you're thinking of the Black Company series. Yeah, I read those. Those are great.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah, they're a mercenary company, and they were working for the bad guys, and they were trying to fight against like the Good Kingdom, and it was told from the point of view of I think he was the doctor of the group, or he was like it always kind of shifted every once in a while, but yeah, I remember. Oh god, I read all, like 5 or 6 of those books. Yeah, the Black Company. It's really cool. I'd go back and reread those because those are short and fun.
Right.
All right, let's get away from television, just because we wasted a shit ton of money. We got
people want to hear us yell at each other about pop culture.
Yes,
that's what they want.
Yes,
that's what people want.
Oh yeah. Okay. So you want to say that our opinion? Joe loves pop culture. We'll watch everything.
Hang on. Just no. I'll get you faster. Just say I love it.
I love it.
I fucking hate it.
There you go. That's our opinion on pop culture right there. I'm the devourer. Steve is the destroyer.
We did it. Yeah. We've done it.
We've done it, everyone.
And now we can just record that the little segment and just upload it as different episodes
constantly.
And what we'll do? We'll say you can say a random thing. At the start, like you could say like something.
Yeah.
Say something. A show.
I like The Flash.
Okay, and then you just plug that. You plug that clip in.
I love it. I hate it.
Yeah.
There you go.
You just plug it in on everything.
By the way, did you see the YouTube comment on the video for the stupid looking Wolfen podcast?
No, I didn't.
So the guy was like, the actual review of the model doesn't take place till an hour into it. I just love when people just don't get it. They just don't get the concept. Like, he actually came to our podcast looking for a review of Wolfen models. First of all, what do you need people to review about those models? You could just take a look at them and go, these are shit. Or if you're such a GW fanboy, you're going to go like, I love these models.
Well, I think another thing too is a lot of people miss or maybe come to this podcast and get turned off by like a lot of the people who leave our classic 1-star reviews, which I enjoy.
Yeah.
Is they don't understand that we are a diametrically opposed pair. Mm-hmm. So we don't just gob over the same shit.
Yeah.
Like that is not what
we're
we
not
do.
Diametrically opposed. Well, we, right, I mean, enough. We have our own opinions.
We're frequently opposed.
But
there's,
agree those models were shit.
It's true. You know what? I guess I completely misspoke. I am sorry. I apologize. Sorry guys. Sorry. Next roundabout news on me. Sorry.
Why would Cylons need a knife on their gun?
To stab humans.
Must stab humans.
I assume. I don't know. Like
must stab chibi humans.
You could get rushed. I don't know.
Today's Tom Sawyer. He gets high on you.
But I think a lot of podcasts, because I don't really listen to podcasts because I'm too busy doing other things.
this is a flamethrower on this thing.
I think it's a Gatling gun.
No, this is totally a flamethrower.
I can't tell.
There's a flamethrower on this plane. What'd be the point of that? Anyway.
I'm actually offended that you thought I painted that. The model's painted like such shit. A lot of podcasts I've heard, which I've listened to very sparingly and not very frequently,
yeah,
is usually both of like whoever is on the podcast, whether it be one, two, or five people, it's all of them just jacking each other off about the same thing. Like they don't. They never disagree. They're always like, "Oh yeah." Like, there's no discussion or topics. Like, it's kind of weird. Like how, I don't get it. Like, if you don't disagree about shit, and if, you know, and everything we're disagreeing or agreeing upon is completely subjective, so there's no possible way to convince someone or something that something is good.
Yeah.
Like, there's just not, you can't do it. It's just not a thing. Like, I think, like, you said that that looked like it was a, you know, moderately well painted or whatever. I think it looks like ass. I think it's like chunky, terrible paint. That's subjective. Like, you could be like, sure, it's got this. I mean, maybe you can go like, oh, well, it's got, you know, it does have highlights. That's nice.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's...
But you know, other than that,
it's a nice shade of yellow.
Yellow. But you know, like, I can't, like, there's nothing you can do to tell me that, like,
I've seen this model somewhere, like this painted model somewhere before. It must have been in a case somewhere for someone or something.
Maybe.
Was it at like a gamer's paradise somewhere?
Maybe. I honestly don't know where it's from. Yeah. I have no idea. I found it and I was like, I'm going to throw this away. So I took a picture of it and sent to you. Like, here, you want this thing? You know, there's nothing you can say to tell me that, like, I like Neelix. I think he's cool. There's nothing you can say. There's nothing you can say that's going to convince me otherwise. Like,
yeah,
I think he's humorous. I people said he, like, because I knew about, like, because I never really watched Voyager when it was on before. I just never did. I was watching Deep Space Nine and then probably fucking Batman cartoons or whatever. But people said he's the Jar Jar of Star Trek. I never really understood what was so offensive about him. It was just like, he's a weird alien dude who likes to cook. Like, okay, like, that's right up my alley.
I think this is the reason why I think I've seen it before, because that's the box art for it.
Oh, they did a box art paint job. Okay,
yeah, and so it's not the exact same paint scheme, but it's close.
It is close. Yeah,
That's the reason, because I've seen that box art before.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no problem. What do you mean? It's important. We got to post that on the. That should be the pod. That should be the episode for the pod. the picture for the podcast. You know, and there's you know, like, I usually gravitate towards like the like characters who have like a specific thing that I like. You know, like, he likes to cook and he's kind of silly, and I love his style. His outfits are cool. His visually great. Like Quark. I love fucking Quark. People hate Quark. People think Quark is garbage.
I like Quark.
I like Quark. But there's people who are like, there's people who would stab us for saying we like Quark. It's like, it's the fucking worst thing in fucking Star Trek.
Now, who I hate is
Rom?
Rom.
Why hate Rom?
What's his brother's
name? His brother's name's Rom.
Rom. Yeah, yeah. I hate Rom, and I hate the kid. Rom's kid.
Oh, why, I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, but I, you know, when he has this like whole like PTSD thing,
there's Rom, Quark,
Nog. Yeah. I hated his character. I hate most Ferengi, and I think Ferengi are best dealt with in very small doses. Like, the Ferengi episodes of DS9 are some of the worst things ever put to television.
See, and I love the Ferengi.
Ugh.
I love the Ferengi.
But the thing is Quark would be great, and Quark is great in small doses when he's running the bar and he's like the guy that you got to go to get this or this. Like, that's great. But when I have a whole Quark episode, I'm like, this is bullshit. I don't want to watch a whole Quark episode. Like, ugh. Or the Grand Magus, like, when he comes by, I'm just like, ugh.
It's Nagus.
Nagus, sorry. When the Grand Nagus comes by.
Because Magus would be a wizard.
Yes. All right. When the Grand Nagus would come by, I'd just be like, oh, this is so terrible.
Inconceivable.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that cracked me up.
Wallace Shaw coming in. Do I need this?
and you know, but you know, there is one fatal flaw that Voyager has that I will freely admit. There's no fucking Jeffrey Combs. He's not in it at all.
No, he's not. That's
fucking garbage. Yeah. Jeffrey Combs is amazing.
Yeah,
I'm actually going to the Star Trek convention, the one in Chicago.
Oh yeah,
I've never been to a Star Trek convention before because they're always in.
Prepared to be disappointed.
They're always in Vegas. Vegas
is the big one. They have Star Trek conventions out here every once in a while.
Well, I mean, the
big one is in Vegas.
Right,
that's the one that I would love to go to.
Right, and I'm not going to. But this one is being put on by the same people who do the one in Vegas.
Oh, cool.
So they have the same. They have a huge. Roster of people who are going to show up there, so I'm interested. Looking forward to it. I think
this is the guy, you're going to get the guy who wrote "I've Got Faith in the Heart."
I'm assuming he's already been murdered by people who like music. no, there's going to be there's just a shit ton of people there, so I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. I don't exactly know what I'm going to do because it's a Star Trek convention, so I don't know what you do with them.
Well, I mean, it's a convention season. You know, the normal, there's three things you do at conventions.
One is buy shit, which I'm not doing.
Two is pay for autographs.
Which I'm I think are coming with my ticket.
Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. So you got to be careful.
There's different packages.
Yeah, there's different pack. Like, okay, so I'm doing C2E2. I think it's on the 17th.
Well, C2E2, all the tickets are extra. There's no package as far as I know for C2E2.
So yeah, with C2E2, it's you have to pay for your autographs. So everyone there, you have to pay for. Now, back in the day, comic book conventions and shit like that, you never had to pay, unless you went to Artist Alley. Artist Alley. They would normally sign books for free, but like if you wanted them to do art, you had to pay for that. Like anything like that. That's not unusual. Now everything costs you money. It's like even like to get like a signature, it usually costs like $5 or something stupid like that. Mm-hmm. Any celebrity that's there, that's going to cost you money. That's why Wizard World right now, or Chicago Comic Con in quotations, it's an autograph and boat show because you just go there to pay for autographs. It's stupid. Mm-hmm. I absolutely hate paying for autographs and I've only paid for one autograph in my entire life, and that was Shatner. And I said, well, mine as well.
Yeah, Shatner's going to be in Chicago. His autograph's a hundo.
Yeah. Well, the only reason why I paid for his is because when I was going for it, it was $40. And I knew that he normally charged.
That's cheap. He's usually at least a hundo.
And that's why I did it, because I was like, my buddy was like, he's only charging $40. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to go get my Klingon Batleth signed, because why not? It's the only piece of Trek memorabilia that I have that I would want.
I think I showed it to you before a while ago, but I have a Star Trek 3 program thing from the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Signed by James Doohan.
Jimmy Doohan.
Personalized to me. Oh. Yeah.
Steve, it's me. Well, Jimmy Doohan.
Here's the thing about that is from the 80s, and it was signed by him in the 80s for me as like a little kid.
Yeah.
Because my dad was working on some movie with him.
Yeah.
And the other thing I have that I don't have anymore because of water, because of a leak. And I was pretty upset about it, but I don't think anyone was more upset about it than my dad. My dad was like infuriated. But my dad had a Subway Raiders of the Lost Ark poster.
Okay.
A Subway size, which are very rare.
Yeah.
And it was in mint condition.
Yeah.
Framed. Like amazing looking poster. Probably worth a couple thousand at least, if not more. And inside was a letter that was written to me from John Rhys-Davies.
Oh, and, that's sad.
And John Rhys-Davies wrote, like, he wrote this long letter to me because he and my dad, like, were sitting around, like, shooting the shit. Like, and, like, he was like, you want to, like, John Rhys-Davies asked my dad out to have lunch. And I was like, sure. So they went and had lunch together. And, like, he wrote this letter to me. And, like, my dad put it in
Steven. Have you ever been to Machu Picchu?
The best was I still remember the only thing I remember from the letter. It was pretty long, but the only thing I distinctly remember from the letter is the last line. His sign off was from Indy's friend and your father's friend, John Rhys-Davies.
Ooh, fun!
And that. Yeah. and that was ruined by water. Like, ugh. Water leaked into the and ruined both the letter and the poster.
That sucks.
Yeah. And so like my dad was pretty upset. So like, I thought that was really neat, because like when I looked at it, I was like, I didn't get this, because I never met James Doohan. And I was like, and I asked my dad, and he's like, oh yeah, yeah. I was talking with him on a movie thing we were doing together. I was like, oh, cool.
Did you see his missing finger?
Did you ask about it?
Did you ask about how it got shot off on
D-Day?
On D-Day, Juno Beach. No, and then the third thing that you could do is you go to panels. Now, I got friends who love to do shopping. I got friends who love to do autographs, and I got friends who love to do panels. I kind of like, I'm a floater. I like to do a lot of, the only thing I don't do is pay for autographs, because I feel like that's like whoring. Like, that's like participating in prostitution. I'm not cool with that.
I don't think getting an autograph is as good as getting laid, Joe.
No. I completely agree with you. I mean, like, but I mean, I just, like, there's just certain people that it's like, why am I paying for this guy's autograph?
I like the picture more than the autograph.
Yeah. I mean, but if it was like, okay, so, so let's say the guy who plays Renly Baratheon is at C2E2. He's not, but let's just say he is. Mm. Now, his autograph is $30. That's kind of like a standard for the low end.
Mm.
I'm like, why would I pay $30? Now, if it was like a $10 thing, I could throw a $10 at someone to get, you know, a quick signature on a thing.
What about the photo op? How do you feel about the photo op?
I don't like photo ops either, because I kind of feel that they're just staged. I mean, if
of course they're staged.
But
That's exactly the point.
But here's the thing. If people want to do it, that's fine. I'm not throwing anything against people wanting to do this, because people love to do it, and it's great. You know, meet your heroes, do whatever you want to do, get their autograph. But I kind of like, I like when stuff's a little more special. Like, I'll meet a celebrity either in a hotel or, you know, like when I met Adam Savage. And
yeah, but then you're harassing them on their free time.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, my favorite celebrity story of all time is when I met Adam Savage. I met him in a elevator at a hotel, you know, and I was like, he walked in the elevator. I was like, holy shit, it's Adam Savage. You know, and he's like, oh, hey, how's it going? And I was like, do you mind if we just take a picture? And he's like, oh, yeah, sure. Took a picture. Just said, you know, talked a little bit on the elevator ride. And then I was like, hey, good day. You know, have a good trip. And everything, that was it. So, I mean, it was not like, I mean, he couldn't really do anything because he was stuck in an elevator with me.
He was literally trapped with you.
But, I mean, it's a moment that I'm going to remember for the rest of my life. Now, I also have a picture
that
of
that time that you imprisoned Adam Savage in a cage, yes. In a cage of your vicious web of lies.
But I also, you know, have a picture with Billy Dee Williams from Comic-Con a couple years back. And a whole group of us went and did it.
Did you
like,
guys each have Colt 45s?
No. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't sign any Colt 45 stuff.
Really?
No, he won't do it.
Why?
And it's just something I don't really know.
It's probably like Kevin Bacon refusing to admit that he was in a Friday the 13th movie.
Could be.
You know, he gets that taken off of his filmography. Like, he doesn't want it out there.
But I mean, it's the same. But it's like, I don't really consider that as cool as the quick shot I took of with Adam Savage in the elevator. Like, but it's fine. I have no problems with anyone doing that.
I like photo ops depending on, well, here's my thing. So like,
and there's certain people who are way better than other people at it.
Right. I didn't get any photo ops, but I was there, around people getting photo ops. And, like Ron Perlman was great. Cause he was chit chatting with people while they were
I've heard Ron Perlman is like one of the best people to go see at a comic book convention.
And
cause he's just nice. He enjoys being there. You know who was really cool when I met them at a comic convention was Aaron Eckhart. Aaron Eckhart he just loved the experience because it was like his first time. It was like right when he did Dark Knight.
Okay.
What's her name? The girl did Veronica Mars.
I don't know.
The blonde chick from Frozen.
Definitely never watched Veronica Mars.
But anyway,
Adele Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem. No. I can't remember her name. But she was really cool when I met her. The girl who played on Heroes, Hayden Panettiere, was just awful. She just didn't want to be there. That's the thing is like when people want to be there. Doug Jones, fantastic guy at comic conventions.
Mm-hmm.
Really fun experience going to meet him. But there are other people who are just like, wrestlers are always cool at comic conventions.
Oh, yeah.
If you like wrestling, wrestlers are fantastic.
Wrestlers, they face for the fans always. Yeah. Like, that's the whole thing.
They are some of the best people to their
fans. And Virgil's
fans.
Always at all the Comic-Cons.
Oh, yeah. Virgil, so, Million Dollar Man.
Ted DiBiase.
Yeah.
Yeah, those guys are great. I love those old jobbers, like the guys who just used to, like, show up and, like, get their ass slammed by fucking Hulk Hogan and stuff. Those are my favorite. I always liked the heels. Like, I never liked the face characters in wrestling.
Lou Ferrigno, at every comic convention, awful person.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's kind of a dick, and he's deaf.
Yeah.
So, like, you don't know if he's just being a dick, because he's probably being a dick to you.
But, yeah. But
he's also deaf.
And then, like people love Stan Lee. They like going to get Stan Lee's autograph, but you don't even get to talk to Stan Lee.
Oh, yeah. There's too many people.
There's too many people, and they just rush you through. Like,
I imagine that would be the same to, like, be with, like, Kevin Smith or something.
No, Kevin Smith is fantastic with his fans. I've met Kevin Smith numerous times.
No, I mean, like, if you did, like, a photo op, like, there would just be so many people.
Yeah, I mean, the photo, like, we did, actually, I see if I could find it. Back in the one really early comic in the Chicago Wizard world, like, I'm talking 2001, 2002, right when Wizard took over, Kevin Smith was there every year. And, you know, we would go, we'd get the lineup. I got my big Mallrats poster, it has Kevin Smith, you know, with Jay Muse. It's got Walt Flanagan and Steve Dave signed it. So I have them before they did Comic Book Men and all that great stuff. Met all of them. Because Walt and Steve Dave used to actually work the View Askew booth. They didn't actually.
I don't know.
Yeah. So it's like.
That was the
so I'd ask them.
The first pictures we have with the. Because I never really met Kevin Smith or anything. I saw an evening with Kevin Smith thing at the Chicago Theater, which was okay. I don't know. Kevin Smith's really long-winded. And we have a picture from early Wizard World, which was just a picture of us with Steve Dave. And It's like with Walt and Brian.
Yeah.
And they were like, "You want pictures with us?" And we're like,
"Yeah, exactly.
We're like, yeah." Like, I was like, "I asked for you guys are hilarious." Like, tell them, Steve Dave.
Yeah. It's like, that's why they were like, "You want me to sign the poster?" I'm like, "Yes, of course." And I was very close to getting Michael Rooker to sign the poster too. I went to a horror convention.
I heard Michael Rooker's fucking awesome.
Michael Rooker is great, but I was he's always drunk or high.
Sounds awesome. Yeah.
I was this close to getting it at Slither. Like, he was doing a Slither panel at a horror convention before Slither even came out. And they cut off the line because everyone, Fillion was there, Elizabeth Banks was there, Jenna Fisher was there.
Giuseppe told Nathan Fillion he was special. Giuseppe tells the story much better than I ever could, but he was at T2E2. Mm-hmm. And his friend's dad was doing some staffing things, so they all got VIP, like they were attendants or guests of the con rather than attendees.
Yeah.
So they all looked like they were they were people, like they were somebodies.
Yeah.
Someone told him that he needed to get Nathan Fillion's autograph. Now, keep in mind, when Giuseppe's telling the story to me, he doesn't know the name Nathan Fillion. He's like, "Yeah, he just told me I had to get this one dude's autograph." And I'm like, "Okay." And he's like, "Yeah, so I went in and, we're standing in line and there's this lady and there's a guy and, I got the autograph." And then he's like, "Oh," he saw the badge and he was like, "Oh, hey, what are you here for? You guys are pretty young." And he just looked at him and he was like, I'm special." and I'm like, "Who the fuck was that?" And he's like, "He was from the show Castle." And I'm like, "Did you tell Nathan Fillion you were special?" And he's like, "Yeah." It was fucking hilarious. And he's like, he's alone with Nathan Fillion and this lady, like, before the convention is going.
I like how you called Nathan Fillion.
Whatever. I call what's his name from The Mummy? Brendan Fraser. So he's alone with these two people before the con, just can freely bullshit with them, and he uses this to say, "I'm special," and then leaves.
From what I've heard of Giuseppe from the podcast, I've never met Giuseppe. I can pretty much, I could see that happening.
Giuseppe's awesome.
So C2E2, yeah. If you're in the Chicagoland or Midwest area, I do recommend going to C2E2. It's a fantastic show to do. I know Steve's not going to be there, but I'll be there, of course.
I don't think I'll be there. I mean, I'm never say never, but yeah. I'm not currently planning to go.
No.
Last year, I was somewhat disappointed by
What visit. I really would, I like more of just on the floor because I buy comics. I like buying Etsy shit.
I did get Dragon Strike.
Dragon Strike.
That was pretty fucking cool.
Yes, you did. I got
with the VHS.
there's like a lot of people who like to sell these smaller Etsy shit. I think last year I ended up buying. I bought a Captain America tie.
There were a lot of Etsy people there last year.
I loved it.
Way more than before.
Oh, I love that. And I got like an etched glass mug for now I have a Stark and a Lannister mug.
Speaking of that's coming back soon.
Yeah. I love that sort of thing. I like getting stuff that you normally can't buy in the store or on Amazon. You know, like, yes, you could go to their Etsy shop and buy it, but I like being able to go there, kind of see it and touch it, and I'll buy it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's one of the things with Etsy is, like, you can look at a picture of it, but you don't really know what you're getting.
Yeah, and then I also really like, they always have the Renaissance Fair booth there where you can buy your tickets, so you get them half price. Always do that.
Yeah, I went to the Ren Fair last year, and I'll go again in another 10 years. We went on the hottest fucking day of the year. It was miserable.
Yeah, that's why I always wear a kilt, so just free breeze.
I don't wear underwear, so...
Yeah, well, I don't either with my kilt.
I just don't wear underwear,
but the
or socks. I'd prefer not to wear clothes, but debris and stuff.
Debris.
Yeah, there's debris.
There's debris everywhere.
There's debris in sensitive areas to worry about.
And then finally, we got Adepticon coming up too. So
that's true.
And you're not doing Adepticon because they canceled the Loader tournament, right?
They did. There's no Loader tournament. There's just Loader events. The only odds of me doing Adepticon is. If I somehow complete this Kings of War army and there's a slot open within a week, which is possible. I decided not to sell my Kings of War. I decided to just finish them because fuck it.
Yeah.
It's
a nice looking army.
Yeah, I mean, they look okay. They're not anything special.
Yeah,
but
you got to base them. Once you base them, they'll be fine.
Yeah, there are. I mean, these still need to be washed and stuff, but they're army quality, which is all I'm looking for.
I would definitely. But yeah, Adepticon's worth going to as well
if I can, I'd like to play in the King's War tournament. So
and the story area of Adepticon is much much nicer.
Yeah, if you're going
to
buy stuff, it's really nice.
Well, it used to not be. Because it used to be this awful.
Oh yeah,
it
was terrible.
It was like a corner of the entire ballroom.
It's been much better though. Like, I mean, it hasn't been bad for years.
No, but Last year was the first year they did it over in Scumberg. And then they had the big floor open, and it was nice because you could walk around. Mm. You could actually see.
It always has been too tightly packed at the Westin.
And then you went to the Westin, and it was always like a corner.
Yeah.
Like, and I remember
they had a little room last time when I went.
That was 2 years before.
Yeah. It was like a little. Yeah. It was like a. You like went into the room, and it was just like full of vendors.
No, they got rid of all of that nonsense. But you could always go there, and it's great because like Mantic will be there, and Mantic will be like, "Hey, you want stuff? Here's all of the stuff." Cool Mini or not, you know, the what's the game you love that I can't think of the name
Dark
of?
Age?
Dark Age.
Wrath of Kings, Dark also Age, Cool Mini or not?
Dark Age will give you tons of shit for, you
oh,
know.
Yeah, you go to, if you spend some money, like, if you were even remotely considering getting into Dark Age or just picking up models for fun, you should definitely try and do it at a convention. If Adepticon's too far for you, you should go to any convention Cool Mini or not is going to be at, because they, if you go in with cash in hand, the Dark Age booth guy, they will just dump shit on you. They'll be like, here you go. Yeah.
And then you got, like, the Soda Pop Mini guys are always there. They're great. And
yeah, Vendor Badge. You can meet the legendary Vendor Badge.
John Vendor Badge. And they got the, I know they're doing Ninja All-Stars is now available to buy, so you can pick that up if you want. They got all of that. Just everything there is great. And they always have, like, fantastic games. And it's been so much nicer now they got it in Scumberg. The only problem is that Scumberg itself is Scumberg, so... You're close to the mall, so there's a couple. You could go to. They opened up a Kuma's over there, so you can get some Kuma's.
Yeah, I went. I've been to the Kuma's a couple times. It's okay.
Yeah, it's expensive.
I mean, it's a $10 burger.
I'm so old because I go in there. I'm just like, it's so loud. I know this is supposed to be metal music, but do we have to play the metal music loud?
I'm gonna throw it out there. I am a very big metal fan, and I hate the music they play Kuma's.
Well, I'm not a metal fan, but I like metal music, and I'm just like, it's so loud. Please, just I enjoy like
thou art a fogey. Perhaps you should wait until you could sit outside.
Exactly. I would like it if just like. You know, I like conversating while I'm eating. I like if I'm going out, I like talking to people and like having. I can't do it when they're playing like. I'm like I can't hear what's going
on.
Yeah,
I guess if you're drinking, it's expensive as fuck. But yeah. I can't drink anymore, so I just went and got a hamburger. And it's like $10. It's a $10 burger, which is I'd say the standard for a high end burger.
Yeah.
And the burgers of the month are always the way to go, I found.
Yeah, they're fun. They're different. They're unusual.
Get the burger of the month and call it a day. It's not as legendary as people made it out to be.
The original location is kind of cool to go to because it's like a little hole-in-the-wall place.
Sure. Most of those places, like those classic like hallmarks of Chicago are tiny, like Gene and Jude's. Like Gene and Jude's is a fucking like shoebox.
Yeah.
Superdogs is... really big, but that's kind of just a drive through, so it's a little different.
Yeah, but that's like what I'm saying is like it's Scumberg. There's like different places to eat all over the place.
Yeah, I mean they don't have Tadai at Woodfield anymore, which is a shame because Tadai was awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know what I don't know if they've replaced it.
Well, they got lots of crazy crap out there. I'm playing in the Bolt Action Team tournament, so me and Timmy Leisten are gonna be there.
You're gonna be Nazi-ing it up?
No, we're doing the Americans. We're doing a
you have to be the same, or you're allowed to be the same.
Yeah, the team tournament, the way that the Bolt Action one works is you just either pick Axis or Allies.
Oh, okay.
So it's
so
like,
you can be America, America. That's fine.
Yeah, America, okay. America, America, Britain, America, Russia. Okay. It doesn't really matter. They it's kind of stupid. I don't think it should be that way.
Yeah. Well, different team tournaments have different rules. Like the one of the PIP War Machine team tournaments I played in was you could not be the same faction. Like you had to be different.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's kind of the bullshit thing about this is that. Oh, so one side, the Allies get to have all these cool combinations, and the Axis, you get to be Germany and bullshit. I mean, like, there's a couple cool combos that you can do, but most of them are bullshit. Like, Germany and the Finns.
By bullshit, do you mean bad, or do you mean, like, overpowered?
No, bad. I mean, like, you're not going to... Oh, I'm the rule, and it's not even that the rules are bad for them, but it's like, who's going to build a fucking Bulgarian army? No one. No one's going to do that.
Do they even have Bulgarian models?
No, they don't. So you end up playing against Germans who are arguably the worst book in the entire game. But because of the way that people think with historical games, they're like, well, we can't put an American player versus an American player. That just wouldn't be right. So you always end up having you always have the Allies versus Axis, and it just... And the Allies will generally tromp over all of the Axis, which is historically accurate, but still, it doesn't make any sense game-wise to do it that way.
I mean, and it's only historically accurate depending on which year you're talking.
Yeah. Well, I mean, whatever. But I mean, but that's why, like, Tim and I playing the Germans-Italians last year, because the Italians are so broke, and I knew how to break that army, that we just rolled over our entire competition where we would make people cry.
Did you win the team tournament?
No, because of the final...
Soft scores?
The final board. No, we would have killed on soft scores. Are you kidding me? No, it was the final board.
Well, I mean, sportsmanship and...
Remember how I told you each game had a different scenario?
Oh, that's right. You told me that.
And
yeah.
We played on this stupid-ass board that no one had won on. And so we ended up tying our final game, and we ended up not getting... We got best painted, which we knew we were going to get anyway. But it was like... Because Tim carried me. It's the entire thing.
If you're in a team tournament with Tim, I'm pretty sure you could have unpainted models, and your team would still win best painted.
I always say that we're the Gretzky brothers of bolt action. The Gretzky brothers have the highest combined point total in all of the NHL, because Wayne Gretzky... Wayne Gretzky's brother only had 2 points, so they have the highest combined total.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's what I say. It's like we're the Gretzky brothers of that's your hilarious. Sports reference. But yeah, Adepticon's coming up. I always tell people go to Adepticon. Go to it's like it's not a huge bang for your buck. You have to get in early, get your tickets early.
You need to really be wanting to play tournaments, because it's all there is to do. There's tournaments, tournaments, and I guess there's panels, but
no, there's a lot of like open games. Like you could go like there's like oh, yeah. if you want to go play like. Oh, I want to learn how to play Infinity. There are Infinity demos. Yeah. If you any game you want to play a demo of, they're going to probably have it there.
Yeah. I meant as far as like things to do that are, you know, bring your stuff activities.
The best tournaments are the non-standard ones. I always the 40K friendly always looks fantastic. I'm not going to play in it, but you know, everyone's drinking, everyone's having a great time.
Like I said, every so often I think like, man, an orc army, that would be cool. And then I think, you know what? They're still terrible. And then I ask my friend who plays 40K, I'm like, hey, are the orcs still super awful? And he's like, oh yeah, they're like one of the worst armies in the game. I'm like, okay, thanks.
And then you got but then you have like the Saga tournament, which looks like the best single tournament I've ever seen at Adepticon.
That's the Viking historical, right?
It's just everything looks the exact way I'd want a tournament to look. Like every board looks exactly the same. The guys are having fun. They're doing cool scenarios. All the models look decent. People are dressed up as Vikings playing the game. They're drinking beer. The prizes are all amazing. It's like, that's what a tournament should look like. And then you look at like the bolt action tournament, where it's just like every board is just nonsense, gobbledygook everywhere. And I'm just like, ugh, this is why I don't play tournaments ever.
Well, I mean, that's just poorly run.
Poorly run.
Like I'm surprised that Saga is not like that, because when I hear historical, that I usually think of the bullshit that you described when you went to the bolt action tournament. Yeah. Perhaps going farther back in time is where you need to be if you're going to play a historical game.
Yeah, and the cool thing about Saga is that all of the everything it's Saga is so uniform that everyone plays essentially the same thing.
Mm, yeah.
Privateer Press is just and they need to move to a bigger room, because Privateer Press was so jam packed last year that the normal smell of Privateer Press was just like it was like when you compress a smell, it was just like. It would like get compressed, and then it would shoot out every time someone opened up a door because of like the jet stream of just the compression of the Privateer Press smell. Just like when you have that many ass cracks open, funny. It's like you could see like the fumes coming out.
You know, here's the weird thing: the legendary place to see the most ass cracks is definitely Magic the Gathering tournaments, but Magic the Gathering tournaments don't smell.
No, they're usually bigger. It's in an open room. If you have open rooms, the smell is mitigated. That's why Scumberg is much better, because the room is so much more open.
I will have to say, I mean, obviously personal experience aside, this is only my personal experience, but I've never played a game of Magic at a big tournament against someone who was stinky. I've never even sat next to someone who was stinky. At a miniatures tournament, it's guaranteed that at least one round, someone is going to reek.
Yeah.
That's just a thing.
I also think it's quicker too. It's like, you know, when you're playing against a guy for 3 hours in a minis game.
I also another thing is I think it's because you're on your feet. Right. I think you got guys who are out of shape, who normally don't take care of themselves very well, on their feet for 3 hours or six, and then you get to round four and they've been on their feet for 12 hours and they're just like,
more pimple face, Cheeto dust little teenagers.
Which is why I always just sit. Actually, you know, most of the Grand Prix, the teenagers don't play.
I'm just saying for mini games.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I think that's why I always sat on stools or chairs. I never fucking stood. Fuck that. I'm not gonna sweat while I'm playing a game.
No reason for that.
I mean, I'm gonna sweat because there's like a million billion BTUs of people. But right. the Yeah, no, I think it'll be fun. I'm gonna see if I can get this shit hammered out and go. I've got a lot more. Like I've got.
I'm sure. Even if you do go, there'll be someone who drops before the actual tournament.
Probably. Yeah, I might be able to sleaze in there. We'll see. I don't know. I did reinvigorate my desire to actually paint models recently.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
You know,
I guess.
It comes and goes. Before we're way over time, but I have one last thing I want to talk about. Let's just do our end of the episode. Let's make fun of Games Workshop's newest blunder. Death Watch Overkill.
Overt Kill.
Let's just.
Do you remember the Spawn character named Overt Kill?
I do.
I think he's very Games Workshop.
He is. He's like silver.
And he's got skulls all over him.
Yeah. So it's another box game from Games Workshop. It's with Death Watch models. They decided to all the models, of course, are really
James pointed
pretty.
Out that there's a motorcycle.
There's a White Scar character in the Death Watch team who rides a motorcycle in an underground cavern. That's what they're doing. I would normally make fun of this It's like incredibly stupid. Like you can see in the background. But you know what? The models are really cool, and I have no problem with it. Whatever. If it's $120, it's a self-contained game. It's not like they're trying to shove it down your throats. And the models are really, really fucking pretty.
I mean, I think buying them for the game is stupid, but
yeah,
buying for the models, like the Gene Stealer stuff, is fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
So what you should do is if you want the Gene Stealer stuff, just go on eBay like a month after this releases and buy the Gene Stealers.
You know what the thing?
Because they're gonna be everywhere.
I don't think so, because like these are limited editions, so they're probably not gonna sell that much, and there's not gonna be a lot of people breaking them up.
The only way
you'll see that is. If that game box set sticks around for a long time, but
the Gene Stealer stuff is actually really nice.
That's what I'm saying. The models are really, really cool.
I don't give a fuck about the Space Marines. The Space Marines are actually obnoxious because they're all so different. Like they're characterful, but that means that like I play a Salamander's army, so I want one of these like 15 models. Or you know, you play a Dark Angels army, so you want one of these.
What about if I play the White Scars?
The
first White Scar model that was ever created. No, actually, they did the White Scars. They did the White Scars biker models.
Yes, and I think there's four total White Scar stuff. But you want one out of the 15 models if you play White Scars.
Yeah.
However, the Gene Stealers are very cool. They're actually
hybrids.
Well, not only that, but they are actually an actual update of the old second edition style model, and they don't look stupid. They're just a sculpted with current technology and style better version. They're brought to the future rather than something like Archaean on the Dragon, which is just like
garbage,
and it's so ridiculously over the top and blocky. It just looks terrible.
You know what these are great Necromunda hivers.
Sure, whatever. I mean, yeah. They're great for anything you could use Gene Stealer hybrids for. They're great for.
So I will give this a.
I'm gonna give it a thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up, thumbs down. All right. Wait, I'm gonna give it a thumbs up, thumbs down too. So that way we could be completely indecisive.
But if the viewers listen carefully, perhaps our thumbs up and thumbs down are for different things.
Yeah, could be. I'm going to put this on as their episode will be called an in-depth review of Death Watch Overkill. They don't start talking about it until an hour and 10 minutes in, and then they just say they liked it. I want to hear more about the Wolfen models.
I mean, it's also outrageously expensive, £100. So that's like, what, $150?
$140.
Fuck that.
Yeah. The dollar to pound is, I think, $1.40 today.
That's fucking ridiculous.
Let me just check real quick. It is $1.38. So we're actually doing pretty well today.
Ooh, at 2 cents. We're really rocking it.
The fucking Canadian dollar keeps going up and it's pissing me off.
What you got against Canada? I thought you loved poutine.
I do love poutine, but I also like buying models from Canada way cheaper. the euro went down. It's $1.09. So
Freedom costs $1.09.
I keep it. Like, I found out that on the iPhone, it's got the stock ticker on there. And I never used it. And I realized that you could actually plug in like currency. So I have it set so like when certain things go down, I know when to buy stuff.
So you just figure out when to get the cheapest deal on models.
Yes,
you're so old.
I know, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing to do.
Oh, you are so old.
The Australian dollar is really low right now too.
I actually went to Games Plus.
Yeah,
yeah. I dropped off some stuff for the auction, and
because the auction's coming up in a couple weeks.
And I picked up War of the Ring Battle Hosts.
Oh, did you? I told you they had it.
Yeah, I picked it up.
Yeah.
I was gonna pick up some models too, but fuck, man, they're expensive.
They are expensive.
I was like, "Woo, that's pricey."
Yeah.
I mean, like, maybe I'll get this Ent. $40.
That's low comparison to
lot of... the Nazgul on the plastic Nazgul on Felbeast is $62.
Yeah.
I was like,
ooh, "Yeah, you're not gonna
even with
it's not their pricing. That's just
GW's pricing.
Yeah, GW's pricing.
Yeah, GW's MSRP." So I was just like, "Oh, maybe I'll just get these used on eBay."
If anyone sell, they probably sell those.
Also, you mean you do get a 10% like. It's not huge, but you do get a 10% discount essentially at Games Plus if you spend $100.
Yeah,
because you get $10.
Yeah,
Or $10 off or whatever.
Yeah. I spend a ton of money there, so I'm usually.
Yeah, I don't really.
I was actually. What day were you there?
Thursday.
Okay, so I was there yesterday. So
or, no, maybe it was yesterday. Maybe no, not Saturday. It was Friday. I worked Saturday.
Yeah,
I had to move our fucking warehouse. It was bad. Oh, there's a newer guy at my work who's been in the comics industry for like 25 years, like mm-hmm. done, and he's like written on books, and he's like, he knows a lot of people, like knows a lot of writers. He's like, yeah, this writer, blah, blah, blah. And he's like really big in like the comics industry. And when you were talking about Kevin Smith with that like gleam in your eye of love, it reminded me, he's super positive about everything. He really likes people. He's like really like, gregarious, like super nice guy. He loves stuff, and like when you talk about comics, he's like, oh yeah, like he likes the older stuff. He likes the silver
age.
He's not into the 90s like angsty level comics. Like they kind of like I'm not into the 90s stuff either, but you know, he likes the older stuff, and he likes the original run on Daredevil and whatnot. I always like chide him. I'm like, dude, you're so happy about fucking everything. I finally found something that he
doesn't like. Kevin Smith,
oh no, doesn't like is not a pro. Like, he went on a raging tirade about how much he hates Kevin Smith.
What does he hate about him? Everything.
You name it. You name it.
You name it,
the his writing, his movies. Like, he was livid, and I was like, yes.
I
was like, you finally have something you hate. Because, you know, I'm always like, I'm fucking, you know, I'm the opposite. I'm the always, I hate that shit. And like, occasionally I'm like, oh, I like that.
And before we go today, I'd just like to point out something. I don't think it's been officially announced on anything other than the Facebook.
This is breaking on Play On. You leave it alone.
No, because I already promised Pat that I was going to do it.
Oh, okay.
Steve got hosed in Street Fighter V.
The terminology is bodied.
Bodied. He got bodied in Street Fighter V.
Oh no, I got bodied.
Pat B, we went out for drinks yesterday.
Oh, he wrecked me. He wrecked the shit out of me.
He was, you know, Pat's not a gloater.
He really should be.
He was like, he was like Wayne Gretzky. Just like, yeah, actually, played really well today.
He karate kidded me. That's what actually happened.
He was like, we played really well today. The luck was on our side. We did really well. But I knew deep down, Steve, I heard that you rage quit.
Oh, dude, I was incensed. Because there's a fundamental difference between 5 and 4 and every other Street Fighter game. And what they changed is the very basics, but they didn't change a lot of your special moves, your inputs. So your Hadoukens are the same. Your Hurricane Kicks are the same. Your Shoryuken's the same. So he's playing Ken. He's doing Shoryuken, Hurricane Kick, Fireball. Simple enough.
Yeah.
But the like basic fundamentals of light attack links to medium attack, links to heavy attack, links to special move, that's been the Street Fighter standard for decades.
Yeah.
Is gone. That's not in this game. So I'm like, I'm trying to link three inputs. And because I'd read nothing about it. I looked up no information about it. I didn't play it.
So all I'm hearing are just justifications and excuses.
Oh, no, I'm fucking terrible.
Terrible player.
Oh, no. I'm fucking terrible. I'll straight up tell you. I'm losing to people in casual online.
Yeah.
I'm miserable.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. But what I'm doing is I'm trying to do light, medium, heavy.
Can I borrow this mug so I can catch your tears, your salty, salty tears?
There's no tears. I mean, like I said, I'll take every fighting game in the world except Street Fighter V, but I have decided I'm going to square peg this round hole, and I'm going to hate fuck this game. I am going to practice and actually get good at a game I fundamentally dislike.
Oh, I heard you deleted it, though.
Just to win. No, after sleeping on it, I had the change of heart. I decided I'm going to hate fuck it.
So you rage quit, and then you rage rejoined.
Yes, that's exactly exactly what happened. I decided
you're going
that,
to rage practice.
Yes,
you're
I'm going to rage practice, and I'm going to rage win.
Until you play Pat again, and he bodies
if he,
you again.
If he bodies me again, I will actually not be angry. I will be impressed. That is what will happen, because I'm fucking miserable. Because it's totally, it's not in anywhere. All of my skill set with fighting games is fucking useless.
I believe that Pat, very nice guy. I believe that he has like a weird sort of the wizard slash like super autistic ability to just play Street Fighter incredibly well.
On four. It wasn't really that way. Like
I heard he killed you guys on four.
I think he remembers that incorrectly. Pat and I have had this discussion before, and he's adamant that he started doing really well. And I'm like, I don't think that happened, but it was a really long time ago because that was at least like 5, maybe 6 years ago. So I will admit he might be correct, but that's why going forward, all of our showdowns are going to be streamed on Twitch and uploaded on YouTube.
Okay, that works.
So there will be a permanent record after this initial
this link. This is going on your permanent
record. I did an
record.
Insane amount of gloating that I would be able to, without practice, destroy Pat.
So you're going
to
play some Call of Duty?
The crow was eaten. Oh, fuck no.
Wasn't that the bet, though? That you would play Call of Duty?
No. We had there was two phases to this action. The first phase was the raw...
Yeah,
untouched, haven't touched the game showdown, which I was talking up and down that I was going to destroy.
And you got destroyed.
Pat, and I got it was 1-5. I had one. He had five.
Yeah.
Absolutely huge blowout. I was just like, I could not believe it. Like, I was like, what the fuck? I couldn't even do anything with Ryu. And Ryu is like basic as shit.
Yeah.
So that's the level of my lack of skill. I couldn't do anything with the vanilla character in the game.
Mm-hmm.
The valley is deep, my friend.
Yes.
And I am at the bottom.
That's
the first half.
I'm just loving this. I'm glowing in this.
The second half is we're going to do the practiced matches with a stream and full record. Now, we didn't exactly say how long the streaming record thing was going to go, but I figure a full year is going to be the...
That's kind of ridiculously long.
Is the good amount? Well, I mean, it's a fighting game is like this game in theory because it's Street Fighter. Like people will just play the new Street Fighter because it's Street Fighter. It's just like Marvel. Like even though Marvel's Capcom 2 is a better game than Marvel 3, all the Marvel 2 players are just like we're playing Marvel 3.
It's
like 40K. When there's a new edition, you play the new edition.
I just say that like you know you're giving it a full year. It's that I know the way that you work, and I know that the way Pat works, and that you're giving Pat a huge advantage on this because Pat's the guy that will.
That is good.
He will.
I want. That's the thing. There's going to be multiple showdowns.
You'll practice and everything, but then it'll be like something else will grab your eye, and then you'll play that for a long time.
Oh, no. See, that you don't understand how grossly competitive I am with fighting games.
Because
you lose a fighting game, this is the thing about more than any other game. If you lose a miniatures game, you can actually go, like, well, you know, I fucked up, or I also got outdiced. Like, we played about the same skill level, but I lost on the dice, which happens, you know. It happens. That's a lot of minis
never
chance. Yeah, you've never lost on dice. Weren't you? Didn't you have an insane day of rage about how you got wrecked?
I got wrecked.
You were like Superman.
I did. And I apologize for that one because I got super salty about it.
You don't apologize. Just be salty. Just fucking revel in that shit.
Yeah.
But that kind of thing motivates me. Like that salt and that rage. That's what makes me want to come back and win. But in a fighting game, you can blame none of that. Like if you lost. It's your fault. Like, you can't say, like, oh, all he did was use super fireballs, blah, blah, blah. It's like, if that's all he did and you couldn't stop that, that's your fault.
Yeah.
Not his. So there's no one to,
you
blame.
You have no one to blame but yourself,
yep.
Steve.
And I busted out my arcade stick now.
Oh, you're playing with the joystick?
Getting into it. So
play with the power glove.
The reason, it's so bad. That's why I want the whole year, because I want to have the play on fan get really excited about the multiple showdowns we're going to have. Cause my truest desire is I want the next showdown to be the opposite. I want to just completely body the hell out of Pat. And then I want the showdown after that to have Pat doing the comeback. So we basically
you want to create a story with it.
I want a narrative.
I don't think it's going to happen. I think Pat's just going to body you all three times.
You might be right. You very well might be right. And
you just remember, he's like the shiny McShine of Street Fighter.
Hey, but you know what? The one thing that really gets me going more, and this is, but that's a problem with fighting games and kind of games in general. A lot of times is I would get to a point where I was just better than everyone, and people wouldn't want to play anymore. Or
that's the way it's going to be with you and Pat. He's going to be so good, you're not going
to
want
to
play anymore.
No, but that's the thing. That never happens to me. If someone's better than me consistently, I will keep playing, and I'll keep playing repeatedly until I get there.
I don't think so. I think you're going to get so burnt out because you're going to realize Pat is so good at it, and you are so terrible at it.
You might be right, but I'm gonna give it the gold college try.
All right, so go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at the Planet Arbitrary, the Game Classy Facebook page, / Game Classy Podcast. The best way you can help out our podcast is to like, comment, and subscribe on iTunes. Also, you can like, comment, and subscribe on our YouTube page where I put these up for some reason or another. I really don't know why. Probably the comments, the ridiculous comments I get on the YouTube page.
Well, the comments are great.
Make it worthwhile. They don't talk about the Wolfen models at all.
I've seen a couple of them. One of them, if I remember correctly, I think one of them had a completely unrelated like argument in the comment section.
I don't know. And so we have that there. You can also listen to our sister podcast. You can listen to the Play On podcast, aka Pat's Retro Video Game Review podcast, where you can hear about Steve getting bodied at Street Fighter week in and week out.
We will see. I am eagerly anticipating our next showdown.
That has its own podcast feed now, so it's no longer on the Planet Arbitrary Podcasts. Play On Podcast has its own feed, as well as Comic Book Logic, where we just did Deadpool last week, and next week
What did you think of Deadpool?
Give it a B-. It's a solid movie. It's fun, but it's got too many problems in terms of like structure.
Colossus gave me a big boner.
Oh, I love Colossus. If you listen to the podcast, if you listen to the review, I was like, Colossus is my favorite part of that movie.
Yeah. He was so awesome.
the origin story drags it down. It's silly, but it's not silly enough.
I laughed a lot, and I really liked Colossus.
Yeah. I did too, and that's kind of my review of it. It's like I laughed a lot, and I like Colossus.
I would watch a movie about Colossus.
I would too. That Colossus,
yes, I would watch a movie about that Colossus, like him and just like Negasonic Teenage Warhead going around doing stuff. I would watch that movie,
and that's why I gave it. I said a B minus. I said on a good day I'd probably give it a B, but I was not having a good day that day because the theater I went to really fucked us over, so I gave it a B minus. I mean, they did. I talk about it on the podcast, but we went and saw the movie, and midway, like we sat through 20 minutes of previews. 20 minutes.
Oh, did they double preview you?
No. Well, 20 minutes of previews. The video feed shuts off after the last preview. And we're like, okay, well, maybe this will start up before the movie. The movie will start up. Nope. Sit there for like a good 5-6 minutes into there where they're finally like, okay, we're going to move you to the other theater where that's just about to start showing the movie. We lost our great seats. They put us in the super loud RPX theater, which is BS. I hate that theater. And they made us sit through all the previews again.
Oh,
so I was just like,
were you at the Bruin View?
No, this was at Cantera, Regal Cantera.
That's what you get for not going to Hollywood.
I saw it at Hollywood too. That's the first time. I saw it twice. So I usually like seeing a movie twice before I like review it, just because I don't like. I don't think I get a really good reaction.
I'm a big fan of the first run. Like the first impression is a big fan because I have absolutely hated movies the first time, which is why I will someday go back and watch. A lot of stuff that I've discarded again because like Babylon 5 is a great example. That's a show. And I'll probably do Farscape again too because I discarded them after watching one or two episodes because I hated them when I first watched them. But going back and watching things, I've like been like, wow, this is much better than I remember.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing is like, well, the first impression of a movie generally kind of tones like, okay, so Deadpool, what the first viewing of the movie said that I am not going to place this movie lower than a B. That's what I said. The second one lets me look at like the stuff like, oh, is the writing really good? How is the directing? How is like this, and this? It lets me see it more as a style of a movie instead of just entertainment. So that's why I like doing that. The next one we're doing is the 2004 movie Punisher
with
TJ.
Thomas Jane, nice.
Yeah,
great Punisher.
you're not gonna be happy with our review then.
No. Did I say great movie? I said great Punisher.
Oh. Okay. All right.
That movie is really, really bad.
The one thing I can say is Thomas Jane commits.
Yep.
What he committed to was not very good, but it was still he committed to it.
He was a great Punisher in a terrible movie.
All right. So, Steve, until next time.
All right. Bye-bye.
Game Classy.